Turn to the book of Proverbs this morning. Book of Proverbs. And I'm going to preach a little bit about one of these animals we find in Proverbs. So get Proverbs chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 30. And our hymns, of course, chose them to try to have a fit there. That last one, Must I Empty-Handed Go? I want you to remember that the Bible says, Paul said, I have one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. He that planteth, he that watereth are one. And you must get hold of the fact that however a soul is reaped or however someone is reached, one of the things we're doing as a local church is we're working together to see God do something. And every part matters. And what I want to preach on today is this little creature called the ant. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now hold your place there. Just look with me in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 in one verse. And then we'll make reference to a couple verses in the New Testament to draw an analogy. The ants are a people, verse 25, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Notice the ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, the Bible teaches you and I, in Romans chapter 10, if you want to mark it down, you're probably familiar with this verse. He said, I will provoke them to jealousy by a people which are no people. In other words, what God said, he said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. As Gentiles, we were nothing in God's sight. And as far as the Jews were concerned, the Gentiles never would be worth anything. And God said, I'm going to call out some people by my name. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'd help us this morning. And I pray your will be done, Lord. I pray your work would be done. And I pray your word would not return void. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to preach to you on this thing of the ant. And we'll just look at three main points, but we'll look at a lot of things that go with it. But he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Now, the more you read your Bible and the more you follow God, the easier it is for the word slothful and sluggard to convict you. It's amazing, isn't it? You'd think the longer you live and the longer you read the Bible, there'd be less of it. But the more sensitive you get to God, the more you realize, must I empty-handed go? The hymn says, give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. All of you here are still in your youth. And you have so much strength that God wants you to give of your youth. You're just barely getting to the beginning of your prime in your lives. So he says, go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. And then in Proverbs 30, he says, there are people. And I want to talk about believers, but I want to talk about believers as a body of Christ. Believers as a local church, for example. Believers as people that God uses together to get something done. Every ant, when you study ants, has a part. Every one of them. And it's a great natural illustration. Let me reiterate to you again that God made this place with in mind ahead of time what he wanted to teach us. It did not evolve and just happen to say, well, look at that. Why, by Gabriel, those ants are kind of like those people and vice versa. No. You say, well, how could God think about and do all that? I have no idea. It's hard enough just learning a little bit about it. Never mind doing it. But he takes these creatures, and this ant is an amazing creature. The ant is found everywhere in the world except the two poles, North and South Pole. And that's because you don't find people there either. They have to either fly over it, or they go down there and fly over it and come back. And nobody's, you know. You ought to make a note of this. In Proverbs 8, he said, he rejoiceth in the habitable part of the earth. God rejoices in the part that he made habitable. Proverbs 8, that's what it says. He rejoices in the habitable part of the earth. Man is always wanting to go live where it's inhabitable to prove he can beat God. And when he does, he about loses his mind and everything else. Ants are found everywhere in the world. They're all over the place. But I want you to get the analogy first. That when you go and study ants, or when we look at these ants, we're looking at a people, not just little creatures. We're looking at a people who were made to be a people. They live in colonies. They never ever live separately of each other. For example, some guy thought he'd be wise. Henry David Thoreau said, "It is not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about?" Well, he's about half-baked. Because God says these guys are effective. See, now somebody would hear that, and then they'd use it for some illustration or something, and they'd say, "Yep, there we go, let's talk about being busy." No. The whole thing is the ants are an example of getting the right thing done the right way. You say, "Well, how could it be when I look at that, it doesn't look that way?" Let me give you an illustration to start off with. If you were able to go up and suspend yourself and look at any group of people that calls themselves a church, for example, or believers, and then, of course, if you look at the body of Christ at large that's alive today, if you looked at their daily life, people are just doing all kind of stuff. But God says, "I don't want your life to be chaotic, and I don't want your life to be random." And I'm telling you, when you study ants, nothing they do is random. Nothing. So it sure does look like it. Yeah, but it's not. And that's the whole difference. It isn't random. Now, we are a people who were no people. Ants do their part, unsupervised, but yet not unaccountable. I think one of the hardest things for a believer is they don't ever stop and write down what their part is. You know, after I got saved, I was so puzzled, constantly puzzled, when I got into church at the number of people that don't do their part on Sunday morning before church. Oh, they'll show up and they'll come to church, or they'll even teach Sunday's kids Sunday school, or they'll do this, do that. But when you get around them for a little period of time, you find out that their Sunday morning can be, most of the time, their least habitual Christian morning. You ever thought about this? People give God less time on Sunday than they do the rest of the time. Because they start by treating their Saturday night like it's theirs. And God says, no, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. The evening determines what you can do in the morning. Why do you know he keeps time that way, evening and morning? Because your evening determines the morning and not vice versa. And so he says, go to the ant. Notice it says, provideth, look at verse 8, her meat in the summer, or gathereth her food in the harvest. And in chapter 30, he commends her and he says, they prepare their meat in the summer. So this is someone who has priorities. This is These ants work on this thing, and we'll talk about three different things about their lives. But I want to say that you've got to be really beware of this worldly antichrist, anti-Bible philosophy that makes you think that God is random and the Bible's random and that your life is supposed to be your own. Three things. Number one, they're societal in culture. They are societal. They're a society in their culture. When you begin to pick up the history of God's people in the New Testament, it's called the book of Acts. And so we see that they were society, they were local churches, societal, like society. They're societal in their culture. That is that when you find ants, they are society. They can be just a few hundred or a few thousand, or they can be tens of thousands. But they live in groups. They live in communities. They live in colonies. And they are all dependent on each other. Now, I've studied ants quite a bit through the years and applied many of these things to try to help people understand what they're doing, because I know this, that the degree to which you and I will live our life like an ant, according to this thing, the more victory we'll get over being a sluggard, okay, and the more ready we will be to meet God. Because these guys are made, I'll give you an example. Sometimes when you see certain anthills and it looks like an ant is just sitting there on top of the anthill, do you know what he's doing a lot of times? They build these ventilator shafts that go down into where the eggs are laid. And they keep this thing at 77 degrees. So if it's too warm in there and there's too much hot air coming in, they sit on that shaft till the earth cools it off. And then they send them a signal and they open up a little bit. And that's their job. Some of them are worker ants. Can you just imagine what it'd be like if it was a Baptist anthill, an independent fundamental Baptist anthill? The guy who got assigned to sitting on the ventilator shaft, the other guys would be going by carrying stuff, complaining. Look at him. Just sitting. Look at him just sitting up there. He's like, Okay, I'll get off. I'll come help you. No, 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 to kill the eggs. Well, shut up then. I'm doing my job. You see, it's always like someone says, oh, that preacher, all he does is pray and preach and study and pray. And okay, well, let's just have one of the churches where they don't. Yeah, you do whatever you want. I've been there. Amen. Some of them are scouts. They go out and they find food and they come back and tell everybody. Can't you remember some saying, I don't ever see you carry no food. What's wrong with you? Say, I'm the scout. That's what I'm supposed to do that. Then there's some that, there are chewing ants. There are certain kinds of ants that during the summer what they do is they bring the stuff in and these other ants hang upside down and they feed it into them. And they're the reservoir of them. And they feed them. So there's some who are just watchers. They watch for the enemy. They watch for Brady. And they see the big old foot coming and they go, if you get a chance, you can get him. Bite him. We'll talk about that in a minute. But everyone has a proper place and a part and a priority and a power. Everyone has a price or a wage or an expense. You see, the Bible teaches us here that we can learn a lot just by observing the fact that it's not chaos going on in that anthill. It's God doing something. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. So while it's true that we're not supposed to go on praising ourselves, it is true that we're supposed to commend each other when we're doing our part. Let another man praise thee. We're supposed to be doing that. In Western Australia, in a butcher shop, they had a sign that said, until further notice, the absence of criticism should be construed as praise. In other words, if I'm not complaining at you, count it as praise. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible teaches, okay? Why? Because we are societal in culture. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Listen, here's what a fellow said one time, and this is my paraphrase of it, but what you become depends largely on what you do with your time. You see, a lot of people think, my time is my time. No, your time belongs to the society. My time doesn't belong to you. To me, it belongs to you. It belongs to God and to you. You say, what about your personal free time? I should never be doing something with my personal free time that will hurt the colony. Right? Amen. Amen. Y'all, boy, I didn't get one. We'll try again. You ladies can say amen because the men ain't. All right? I should never, ever, ever do something with my free time that will hurt the colony or hinder the colony or anything. Why? Because that's what we have to be able to be counted on. That's what these ants do. They have to be counted on. The Bible says, confidence, unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know what? Sometimes the real test is this, is I'm letting myself down if I'm letting you down. And so someone says, I don't know about that. Then you can't be an ant, an effective ant, because each little one matters. Now, what we want to do is we want to spend ourselves on God and His work. Does that include rest time? Of course. Does that include recoup time? Yes. But have you ever noticed how many things that the world calls recreation are actually detrimental to people? Recreation is the word. It's not recreation. It's recreation. You're supposed to be actually renewing yourself and doing it, not breaking yourself down or hurting yourself. So it's a renewing that God does. And so these ants are so societal in culture that they are constantly working together and doing these things. And we must, if we're going to be a good Christian, you see, that's why people get confused on the fact that there is a body of Christ at large and a church at large. There is. People who are saved are part of God's bride, part of His church, part of His body. But He never gets anything done without a society of Christians working together, because that's what it takes. So the ants, they accomplish what they do. Now listen, the ants are very essential to life. They say that they turn over as much or more soil worldwide than earthworms do. They aerate. They're very important. The world, get this, would be a lot dirtier place if it wasn't for ants. It'd be a nasty place if it wasn't for ants. And what does that say about the church? That's what we do. We win people to God. We teach them how to live cleaner. I mean, even us, we're just a few less people that are out there raising hell and making the world a worse place to live. Amen. Why? Because we've got to be societal in our culture. All right. With that, verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Secondly, they're self-governing in character. Now, they've taken ants before and they've done this. They put these little colored dots on them according to what they were doing and watched them. And so they've observed that they have specific jobs. Now get this. And they may change their job as their skills change and increase. They literally teach each other how to do things, like we're supposed to teach our children, each other, our new converts. If we're not careful, we're expecting somebody else to do what we're supposed to do. Whether it's parents, whether it's pastors, whether it's church members, they can carry, get this, they can carry 10 to 20 times their body weight. Now, you can't do that. So it must not be what God's trying to teach us. Okay? You know, Brother Brady's not going to go out and carry 2,000 pounds. 10 times, 20 times your body weight. But a practicing believer, get this, I can do all things through what? Through Christ who strengthens me. A practicing believer is supposed to be able to bear 10 times more than a lost person. A practicing believer is supposed to be able to bear up and carry so much more than the lost can. And we should do. We should carry more responsibilities. Now, we're not talking about getting, we're not talking about going and joining every club and thing on earth. I understand that, you know, the rats and the mice and the mooses and the elks and the whatever. But I'm talking about emotionally and spiritually and for others. They say that their brain power is compared to a Mac 2 computer. And I had to really pray over this one. I said, well, anointed by God, we are strong. You know, he said, knowledge is easy. Listen, knowledge is easy, Proverbs says, unto him that understandeth. We can learn things as believers that we wouldn't learn if we weren't believers because God has touched our minds. And some of you have been able to keep your minds clean all through those years. Now, the colored dots show that in a catastrophe, ants respond by quickly adapting their duties to overcome the problem. So, they're self-governing in their character. A couple things. They work without constant supervision. Do you know what the essence of a local church is? All the hours that you're not in church. All the hours that you're not in Bible study, all the hours that you're not in institute class, the true core of a church is working without constant supervision towards the end goal. It's that working towards what God's doing in the local church. It's that working towards the gospel work. It's that working toward what God's doing in your own life. Because if we work without constant supervision, then what it is we are working with supervision. We're taking the Word of God, we're taking what's preached, we're taking what's taught, we're taking what our duty is. And what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I'm going to let this thing have an effect on me. Oswald Chambers' devotion, part of it said this today. It's not the thing we spend the most time on that molds us most. The greatest element is the thing that exerts the most power. We must determine to be limited and concentrate our affinities. You see, as a child of God, it's not what you spend the most hours doing every week. It's not whether you spend 40 hours digging a ditch or painting a wall, or whatever you do. It's not, that's not the issue. Is what is the greatest element in my life that is exerting the most power over me? That is my spiritual routine. That is my spiritual thinking. That is the things I hear, the things I listen to, what I'm living for. They work. Listen, they work without constant supervision. But why? Because they are supervised. See, when you go about your day, if we put a dot on each of you or a little trail, you ever seen these photographs where they, you know, the light time lapse, they show all the lights in different, going different directions and around the city. If we did that on each of you and put a laser on you and looked from above and your life was over here and one's at the store and somebody's over here doing this and somebody's over here doing this and running service calls and doing all these things, if you just looked at it, you'd go, this looks like an anthill. That's what it looked like. But here's the key. I've got to be self-governing in my character so that it's not a chaotic, undisciplined, sluggard anthill. I've got to be saying, Lord, what is best for you? What is best for the body of Christ? I don't do something that's not right for the colony. Because that's what I am. I'm an ant. I'm a believer. I'm a local church Christian. Sometimes it's a skill to learn. Sometimes, as I said, these ants, they learn skills. And so their job might change or progress. Sometimes it's a discipline to exercise. Sometimes I have to develop a discipline in my life and say, Lord, at such and such time, this thing's got to happen. I'm telling you, if you want your Christian life to change, If you want the people around you, their Christian life, to change, you have rules about your Saturday night. And I will guarantee if you'll set rules about your Saturday night and your Sunday morning, your life as an ant can change. Okay? You can be a more successful ant. You can be a better Christian. Because that totally changes. That's you and I being accountable and being self-governing in our character. You say, well, they work without constant supervision. They work without criticizing or mistrusting or envying others. They work with this attitude that I've got to do my part. I've got to do my part. I've got to do my part. I've got to pray, for example, and do my part. Listen, you have an obligation as a local church Christian to pray. It should be part of your duty that you say, man, my duty is to be up on Sunday morning praying for my church. My duty is to be up praying for my preacher. My duty is to be up praying for the music and praying for the visitors and praying for salvation. It's my duty as a local church ant to be doing that. We need to write it down. We need to look at it. How about, we're developing these things so people can know where you're meeting and all that. Passing out a tract. How about stewardship? How about my duties? How about timeliness, faithfulness? Why do I do it? Because he says, listen, look at it. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be what? Wise. The ant are people not strong. They're not by themselves. What, one ant can't do... Have you... One ant might make your hand swell up, but that's only because the other ant's distracted him. But one little ant, you can crush an ant with your foot. You ever seen little boys when they get them ants and they're crushing them? One little ant. But I've read about these army ants. Buddy, you don't want to fall asleep near army ants. They can get you. No fire ants will get you. On your own, listen, Christian, you're nothing. I'm nothing. I'm absolutely nothing on my own. Without us as a societal influence. That is, we are a society of believers. We are a local church assembly. And the only thing we'll ever get done for God is together. And we won't all be doing the same thing at the same time. So we got to work without criticizing or envy or mistrust. Why? Because not everybody's doing the same thing at the same time. But what do we got to do? We got to be self-governing in our character. We must be able to govern to do our duties. Listen, here's some things. Well, actually, let me give you the third point, and then we'll talk about it. They are societal in their culture. They are self-governing in their character. And they are successful by combined effort. They are successful by combined effort. The way that these ants work is by a combined effort. They're successful by combined effort. I'll give you three things they do, and then I'll give you some illustrations. They clean up whole neighborhoods. The whole place would be dirtier if ants weren't at work all the time, I promise you. There's all kind of stuff that dies and all kind of things that happen, all kind of stuff. They clean up neighborhoods. They cultivate the ground. They aerate it. And then they are a creature that obviously, according to this, glorifies God. So they are successful by combined effort. Now, let me give you an example. Ants do this. They livestock farm. They literally take other little creatures and they pen them up and they grow them to eat them. That's pretty cool if you think about it. That's amazing. They had in one place where they I forget what it was they ate, but they literally would create corrals underground and they'd snatch them and throw them in there and grow them, and then when they get to a certain size, they eat them. They grow food underground. They teach the new ants what to do. They maintain a strict 77 degrees in the hill. They respond to armed protection needs, like bullies with sticks trying to tear up their place. Amen. They tunnel. Get this. They will tunnel from two directions and meet exactly on target in the middle. Now, you couldn't get any Baptists to do that if they had GPS and everything else on the face of the earth. In fact, if it was an independent fundamental Baptist, they'd miss on purpose and blame the other guy. And then they'd run into each other and go, how'd you run into me? I moved 2 degrees just on purpose. Well, I moved 2 degrees knowing you'd move 2 degrees. I anticipated your stubbornness. Well, I anticipated your stubbornness. How do we do this? Amen. You see, I'm saying to you that they do so many things, but it's always together. Complex communication. You ever said, I need to get in touch with somebody, and you call them? You're not touching them. Do you know that's how the ants do, though? That's how they do. They get in touch with one another. They leave a scent along there and they communicate. They are constantly communicating. Now listen, their relationships have a limited free will. A limited free will. Let me tell you about being part of a local church. I just tell you right now, I am socially submitted to my local church. I do not have the freedom to do whatever I feel like if I'm a part of this local church. I don't. You say, well, that's just because you're leading it and pastoring. No. No. I am not free to do anything because it affects the colony. It affects the assembly. It affects... You see, church is not just when you get together. Church is not saying, oh, I belong to such and such church. Have you ever been on visitation and you ask somebody, they say, I go to so-and-so's church, and you go, when did you go last? And they're like, you know. They don't even know the pastor's changed. Well, you know, so-and-so's our pastor. Say, well, I think Brother so-and-so is the pastor. He goes, oh, yeah? Say, hey, that was two pastors ago you went. You know, and that could be 2 years or 6 months. I don't know. You say, well, what do we learn from these guys? Because they are successful by a combined effort. Now, the woes of the world are not the fault of Christians. Okay? If we work together as a colony, we're not going to turn the whole world over, upside down the way they talk about it. But I'm set out to turn some people's world upside down, amen? Because when God turned my world upside down, He got it right side up. The other day, I was over there working for this guy, and everybody was gone, and I saw this little head coming up out of the pool, and it looked like a snake. And the last time I went fishing with old Churchill up there, we were standing there fishing, and this big old thing comes along, and it's a big snake with a little snake across its mouth, swimming across there, and I'm thinking, what on earth is over there? So I go over there, and it's this big old alligator snapping turtle, but he's in the pool. He's got all this moss on him, so I'm thinking, you know, well, he don't belong there. Surely he's not a pet. He doesn't belong in the pool. So I go and get a big old leaf rake, and I'm trying to get him, and he's pretty clever little dude. I don't know if vibration or what, how he senses I'm there, as little as I am. But I finally get under him, and I flip him up in the air. I catch him on the rake, and I put him on the grass, and he tries to run away, so I flip him over and put him upside down on there. Okay? Now, when he was on his back, that's how I was before I got saved. And I thought I was right side up. I couldn't walk for God. I couldn't live for God. I couldn't do nothing. I was actually on my back, on my way to hell. And somebody comes along and gets me saved, leads me to Christ, gives me a Bible, starts teaching me, and they put me right side up. So I took that little dude over there and I turned him right side up, and he didn't come out or nothing, man. I thought, well, I've killed him. Well, man, he's got to be tougher than that. He's a turtle, alligator snapping turtle at that. So I go and I put everything away, but I'm watching. Pretty soon, out comes that head. Out comes a foot. Out comes a foot. Out comes a foot. Out comes a foot. And I pointed him away from the pond just to see if he'd go back in the pond. Like that, he turned around, back in the pond. Now, I set out to say this. We want to turn people's lives upside down because that's going to put them right side up. A lot of people think everything's just fine, and their life is upside down because I'm telling you, they're going the wrong direction. They're going to hell, and they got no power over the things that they need power over. But we'll never, ever accomplish all that without doing it as a local church. We'll never see what all God can do without doing it as a local church. Successful by combined effort. Now you say, well, what can I do as a ant? Well, let me say this to you. I would give anything if through the week God would bring back to your remembrance that you're like an ant in a colony, and that even though you have perhaps what might seem menial tasks to do or disconnected tasks from the local church, they're not. Your entire life and my entire life is connected to this local church. The great thing about it, the cool thing about it is, that means everything matters. You got to get hold of this. If you could ever get hold, come over Colossians for a minute. I'm going to throw this in here for a close. If you could ever get hold of this, it helps. Now, I don't think I'm perfect at it. Sometimes I lose the connection. When I lose the connection, I lose my grace and I lose my vision. But the connection is big. Watch this. What if everything you did... Now, admittedly, it might cut into your style a little bit if everything mattered. Because it does, okay? But do you understand how life would be different if everything mattered? If taking out the trash mattered? Doing the dishes mattered? Everything. If everything mattered. Everything. Our Bible says it does. Watch this. Colossians chapter 3. He starts off this passage. It's marked for us in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Okay, so now we're saying, well, Lord, I need to be thinking about things above, right? And then he's going to go through it. He's going to tell me to mortify in verse 5. He's going to tell me to put off in verse 8. Verse 9, lie not one to another. Verse 10, have put on the new man. Then he says, verse 11, neither Greek nor Jews. Verse 12, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, etc., etc. Now watch. He then starts telling us on a daily thing our roles. And in verse 17, he says, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And he deals with wives, husbands, children, fathers, and servants. That includes everybody. Everybody's one of those things or many of those things. And then this is, to me, the most exciting part is verse 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. It's real easy not to feel like doing it for men, for mankind. Why? Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God's looking at you, and he's looking at me like an ant. And he's looking at my daily life. And he's saying, Michael, there's a lot of time that's yours to decide what to do with. There's only a few hours where the whole ant colony, the whole church, is expecting you to be at a certain place. But I'm expecting you on behalf of that colony to be doing your part. Now, someone says, oh, that sounds like a great responsibility, but wait a minute. The colony depends on each other. Do you know how many people, now sometimes they say they want, there's some people you know that, you know, they talk and they say, there's no real church in our area. And there's been times when I was overseas, I'd go out, drive a long ways, and I'd meet with them, and you know what I'd deduce? They didn't want a real local church because they didn't want to be an ant in that local church. Okay? They wanted to be a visitor who was counted a member, and they wanted someone else to do all the ant work, and they wanted to be able to show up those 3 or 4 hours and get the blessing. And you know what I did? I'd get back in my old truck, and I'd drive back, and I'd say, let someone else do that, because I'm not being the 4 or 5 ants when they need to be an ant, and they need to be an ant, and I need to be an ant. I ain't doing it. I'll do all I can do, but you better do all you can do. Amen. Okay? Why? Because that's how it works, and that's how it thrives, and that's why they're successful. But everything matters. Everything matters. And so if we get hold of that and we could get this vision of what he's saying, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider ways to be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat. How does she provide her meat? They do it as a society. Whatever happens in a local church, if it really works, it's going to be the result of everybody working together. But everybody gets to bear the fruit too, and share in the fruit, and share in the blessing. The amazing thing to me is, how the anthill looks so chaotic, but it's not. And the amazing thing is how our lives might, if someone was up there watching these trails, think, well, there's just no rhyme or reason. But if we are letting God lead our life and we're doing our duty and doing our part and putting some things on ourselves, it is. And then you know what happens? It comes together when we meet sometimes. It comes together when we win somebody to God. It comes together when we're able to get something done here and there. And it comes together in God's eyes when we do that heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. So he says, go to the end. Now, you know what I want you to vision this week? Is that your life, every part of your life, is like that ant. And so you stop and say, Lord, what do I need to be doing right now? What's best for the colony? What's best for the church? What's best for your work? Lord, what do I need to do with my time? Because if we don't, we're not doing our part as an ant, and the people won't get done what they need to for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for this illustration from the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for giving us an idea, a vision, Lord, a picture, an illustration of what we can do as a people. We're not strong alone, Lord. Lord, I couldn't do a thing to have any influence in this town. But I know as a local church we can. And Lord, for the most part, none of these people can either on their own. But Lord, as a local church we can. And Lord, help us to view our life, the whole week of our life. Lord, the whole thing that you do in our lives, the whole 168 hours of our week, may we view it as being something that's vital, Lord, and a part of the local church. And God, I pray you'd help us to realize that when we do, you bless it with eternal rewards, you bless it with heavenly things, and we can actually set our affection on things above by doing it that way. Because the work of God is the only thing that'll matter, Father. Lord, thank you for this wonderful morning. Bless our time together as we fellowship later. In Jesus' name, amen.